And powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, today we're going to go back to Isaiah 13. We did our excursion in Daniel. Not exactly what I was going to do, but I expanded on that to bring everyone to a point where they could appreciate this prophet a little bit. We're going to look at a series of chapters quickly here in Isaiah that deals with the topic at hand, which is, of course, one of the major topics of the Trib, Unescapable, the Doctrine of the United States and Prophecy. But before we begin, of course, we usually take a few moments to allow you to be absolutely sure that you are where you need to be spiritually, in fellowship, and ready to concentrate and not distracted by the things of the world or the things in general, but focus on God's word and be encouraged by it. He will uphold every jot and tittle of it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again we assemble ourselves together so that we can worship in spirit and in truth. We thank you that you continue to provide for us the external resources, the protection, so that we can make it here and receive these things that are so critical as we approach the upward call of Jesus Christ. Thank you for all you do for us, and bless the things spoken today to our edification and understanding, in Christ's name. Amen. As noted, the topic of the last days Babylon, there are two of them, by the way. There are two Babylons on earth. And the Babylon that we're dealing with here is political or economic Babylon. The Babylon of Isaiah, the Babylon mentioned by Isaiah here in this particular chapter refers to the United States in prophecy. The overthrow of the historical or ancient Babylon was completely different than any description given in these passages. This is a known fact. It is known by historians, Bible students, everywhere, that ancient Babylon, the Babylon of Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel and Jeremiah, that Babylon did not fall in a holocaust of destruction. It was taken down quietly and replaced quietly by the next major kingdom after it, which was the Medo-Persian kingdom. So the Babylon here, and again, I will make comments. In my one study Bible, I looked at the footnotes, see what the individual, the Ryrie one, what he had to say about it all. But I did it over in Revelation, where the United States is featured in one whole chapter, chapter 18, and he said it could be Rome or Iraq revisited, something to that effect, which both are completely off. Rome, as in Rome, Italy, that's the headquarters for the Babylon of Revelation 17, the Roman Catholic Church, which gets press, and we'll see why, in its overthrow eventually. In the tribulation. The Babylon that we're dealing with here has all the features that fit the United States. This is for your consideration. Doctrine does not have to be pleasant to be true. Doctrine is what it is. The Word of God is what it is, and we go with it. The oracle concerning Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos saw. So he got a visual with this one. It wasn't just words communicated to his soul. He got some kind of a visual display, as in a trance. And this information was related to him. And then, of course, later on, under the ministry of the Holy Spirit, he wrote it down as a part of the great book of Isaiah. This is a signal for warfare. Verse 2, lift up a standard on a bare hill. Raise your voice to them. Wave the hand that they may enter the doors of the nobles. So you have two parties here. You have the attacker, and you have those being those attacked. The nobles. This would indicate the ruling elite within a civilization. And in this case, the United States, the politicos, I presume. I have commanded, God is speaking through here, I have ordered or commanded my consecrated ones. Consecrated ones means I've set apart this particular army for this purpose. I have a particular purpose in mind, so I consecrate it or set it apart. It does not refer to the fact that they are anywhere spiritual or anything like that. It's just something God has set apart for His purposes. I have called, and he explains it here, I have even called my mighty warriors, my proudly exulting ones, to execute in italics, but that's the idea, my anger. This will be my instrument to afflict my anger, my wrath. And then we go into the period in general where all this happens, which is of course at the end of, after the church age, in the tribulation, and the events occurring on earth. All the details with regard to the development of the seven-year tribulation with its two equal halves. The first half is relatively, for the most part, relatively quiet compared to the second half, but the first half gets really heated up about 2 to 3 years into the tribulation. That's when the attack on this country will happen. Before the midpoint, somewhere in the second to third year, a sound of tumult on the mountains. This will, all the kingdoms, all the nations around will be stirred up by all the goings on at that time. Like that of many people, a sound of the uproar of kingdoms, of nations gathered together. The Lord of the armies is mustering the army for battle. He is behind the scenes orchestrating this event before he obviously makes his appearance. They are coming from a far country, consistent with what we saw in Jeremiah, from the north, from the farthest horizons, the Lord and his instruments of indignation, to destroy the entire land. Wail, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore, all hands will fall limp, and every man's heart will melt. That does not refer literally. It refers to the psychological effect. They will be terrified. Pains and anguish will take hold of them. They will writhe like a woman in labor. They will look at one another in astonishment or shock, their faces aflame or burnt. This is Americans on earth, not people everywhere, obviously. And then we have the general theme of the day of the Lord. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming. Cruel, with fury and burning anger, to make the land a desolation, and he will exterminate its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not flash forth their light. Now, what effect that is and how all this happens, I'm not completely clear. I do know that when you have this kind of material sucked up into the atmosphere, we had a volcano can do it, that you have a blackout with regard to the normal light reaching the earth from the sun, moon, and so forth. That theme is throughout the prophetic literature, that there are these things occurring with regard to the stars. The sun will be dark when it rises, and the moon will not shed its light. The moon is a separate light from the sun, not dependent on the sun. It's the moon's light. The Bible does not communicate stupid stuff, stuff that does not make sense. I wouldn't say so about something that didn't have a light that it had a light. See, the understanding of modern science is that the moon merely reflects the light of the sun. This is not true. The moon has its own light. I have other verses on this if you looked up any of it in the doctrine of a cosmology. It will not shed its light. Thus I will punish the world. So the judgment is beyond America. It goes out all to the nations. But the United States takes it the worst because it's eliminated. Period. Other nations will suffer wrath, but they will survive. Not this one. This is the exception. Thus I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. This is worldwide in this instance. I will also put an end to the arrogance of the proud and abase the haughtiness of the ruthless. There's plenty of those in the world, not just in this country. I will make mortal man scarcer than pure gold, and mankind than the gold of Ophir. Wherever that strain of gold was, it was rare. It was a very good quality of gold, but I will make mankind scarce. So the attrition from the rapture event to the second advent will reduce our 7 to 8 billion population of earth down to a relatively few people, both of the Gentile category and of the Jewish category. The survivors of the tribulation in their physical bodies, both survivors physically and spiritually, because all unbelievers who survive will be baptized in fire and removed from the earth. So that the millennial civilization will begin with believers only. They will pioneer the new nations from the destruction of the 7 years. So this is a verse telling us that the human population of this earth will be reduced greatly through the action of the judgments of the tribulation. Now, as I said before, for people in the tribulation, they have the same chance to get their act together, to become a believer, get under the directive will of God. It won't be any fun in the usual sense, but it's what you got to go through because they're working their way towards the millennium and the kingdom of Christ on earth. And there will be those that will do it and do it right. A bunch of them, actually. Some will be martyred, a lot. Others will survive and inherit the kingdom, as Jesus in Matthew 24, when he collects, because there will be people still spotted around all over the place. And angels will be sent out to bring them to Israel and stand before Jesus Christ. And he will gather on his right the believers, called sheep. On his left will be the goats, those that did not believe during the 7 year period. See, it always boils down to the same thing. It starts with, are you a believer or not? And that's how you avoid eternal wrath. And in this case, for these people, they get, he'll say, blessed are you, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world, the creation, original creation. So that's a point to file away. Mankind will be reduced, scarcer than the gold of Ophir. Doesn't mean not existent. The only place where mankind will be non-existent is in the territory that makes up these United States. Therefore, I will make the heavens tremble, and the earth will be shaken from its place. This earth will actually be the physical earth, suspended in space, will be shaken at the fury of the Lord of the armies. God has a case against humanity. It's built and built and built. The United States stands at the forefront, but he has a case against humanity. And all this has been going on his footstool. So all through there, God's anger, wrath, fury is manifested. In the day of his burning anger. And it, the earth, will be hunted, will be like that of a hunted gazelle, or like sheep with none to gather them. They will each turn to his own people. This brings back into focus the United States, when people will actually leave here and go to whatever country their ancestors migrated to here from. It'll be a reverse process. Probably at the top of my list for clues that indicate this is the United States is the immigration factor. There's other factors that are very strong that eliminate any other contenders for this destruction. If you're going to your own, if you're going back to your country, it means you came from another one. Well, this would obviously be the descendants of the original people who migrated to the United States from all the countries. That is a unique thing about the United States. It isn't true of name another country. It isn't true of these other countries that they have been built on migration from the nations. But it is true of the United States. In fact, we pride ourselves in that fact. And we have a statue on top of in New York that epitomizes this, the Statue of Liberty. So, nobody else has anything like that. It's unique to the United States. They will each turn to his own people. Of course, a lot of Jews are going to leave America and head back to Israel. But they, when they do it, they'll be believers after the rapture. Anyone who is found will be thrust through, and anyone who is captured will fall by the sword. Their little ones also will be dashed to pieces. We got to give you the hard, cold facts. The little ones aren't going to be spared. Their children, of the Americans, they'll see them die before their eyes. But again, remember, they all had a chance to get out of here, get saved, get out of here, and do what they needed to do. It'll be interesting to see just how many Americans of the different national backgrounds will leave America. It'll take something to make that application. The little ones also will be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses will be plundered. And this isn't conventional plundering, where people kick the doors in and come in and take everything out. This is plundering through nuclear destruction. And their wives raped. Ravished. And this isn't traditional rape. Male to female. This is nuclear rape. By his mighty warriors who launch all these weapons of mass destruction towards this country. Back, he's consistent with Jeremiah. Behold, I'm going to stir up the Medes against them. The Medes is code for their famous archery. They were famous archers of antiquity. And so, we had a little doctrine called the doctrine of arrows. And there's conventional arrows we're all familiar with, bow and arrow. And then there are the nuclear weapons with their launchers. Who will not value silver or take pleasure in gold. No conventional plundering will occur of American wealth. It'll all be radioactive, destroyed, and off limits. And their bows will mow down the young men, the youth. See, if we have all the different categories that die in this thing. They will not even have compassion on the fruit of the womb, babies, or pregnant women. Nor will their eye pity children. And Babylon, the beauty of kingdoms, America in its heyday, no rival for wealth and power. And Babylon, the beauty of the kingdoms, the glory of the Chaldeans' pride, Anglo-Saxon, will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. 1 hour of one day. It was another day. Everybody got up, business as usual. And then those sulfur ignited rain fell on them, and the heat was so horrific, it melted stuff everywhere. Normal stuff that wouldn't melt were destroyed. It will never be inhabited or lived in from generation to generation. Guess what? People are living in the area of Sodom and Gomorrah as I speak. There's great big hotels along the Dead Sea. There's great big hotels along the Dead Sea. We saw them back in 99. So this area isn't off limit. They harvest minerals from the Dead Sea. There's rusty looking ships out there and boats. And by the way, the Dead Sea is making a recovery. You can find it online. Plants and fish are starting to come back in fulfillment of Bible prophecy. I don't know if I still have that particular presentation where they're out there and on it and showing plants and everything. This wasn't true back in the day. It's the salt sea. Things don't tend to want to grow in that kind of level of salt. But it's beginning to make a recovery. An ecological recovery. In your lifetime. Fulfilling a prophecy in Ezekiel that says, during the kingdom of Christ on earth, fishermen will line the shores. Remember that Sodom and Gomorrah, before its destruction, was the most fertile place on earth for growing crops. There was hardly anything that could compare to it. And look what God reduced it to environmentally. But he did not prohibit people from going back there. Tourists all over the place and others. Obviously, it is down at the end. The Jordan Valley and the Jordan River runs south and runs into that area. This has been a really big place to harvest minerals. If you ever did any research on it. Special ones, too. It will never be inhabited or lived in from generation to generation. All the generations of the millennium, nobody will inhabit it or live there. Not just some little colony. Not just a few people. Nor will the Arab pitch his tent there. Nor will shepherds make their flocks lie down there. Ancient Babylon, when the city declined and nobody lived there, shepherds would come in there. And in that big, famous, beautiful city that was now ruins, an archaeological site now, they would come in there and they would park their animals. This place is a place that will not be inhabited. It cannot possibly refer to the whole world, because that would require that the whole world would be devoid of people forever, and that's just stupid. So no humans will come into here and bed down their sheep. None. Nobody will be allowed to. It's not that they physically couldn't. It's just a matter of walking in. After the radiation, I'm assuming that at the second advent, the Lord is going to clean this earth up. We'll have a kind of a second restoration process. A restoration process. And this isn't a small thing either. When you have everything in the ocean dying in the period of His wrath, He refurbishes it. A river comes out of Jerusalem that purifies the oceans. Did you know that there is more water, by far, subterranean water on our earth than on the surface? And that includes all the trillions of gallons of water that's on Earth's oceans. It's right beneath the surface. And He's going to bring it to the surface. Water is a big thing in the world today, and it's caused wars and various things of this nature. Spend a day without any of it and see what you think. It's not pleasant, is it? So, no humans, as illustrated by Arab pitching his tent and a shepherd with a group of sheep, but desert creatures will lie down there. And their houses, look at all these houses in America, all these, the one you live in, all these dwellings, small and large, will there be anything living in them? Yes. And their houses will be full of owls. Animals that we don't typically associate with the United States, but we have imported animals. You have ostrich farms. Things that aren't native to America, Native American animals. We brought them in. So this probably could be taken literally. Ostriches also will live there. And shaggy goats will frolic there. Now, we have goats in the United States. We have wild goats, mountain goats. But what this is saying is that basically, in that last verse, hyenas will howl in their fortified towers. Well, the only hyenas we have are in zoos, if we have any in zoos at all. Hyena isn't a particularly attractive animal. They're kind of obnoxious. But they're what God created. So this whole country will be a wild nature park. A wild nature park. Not kept up nice and all fixed up and all the rest of it. The Persians were known for their parks. And I don't mean like have around town. I mean they were covered a lot of acres. And they were kept up real nice, not wild, overgrown stuff. And they go hunting for these animals that they had in there. Big game hunting. And that's where we get our word paradise. A Persian garden. Others did well with them. We saw where Solomon was big into this. Building these elaborate parks. And importing animals that weren't native to Israel. So, you know, there is nothing new under the sun. People have done this back when. We do it today. These animals in the destruction, many will die, but they'll get released. And God will bless their reproduction and their establishment in America with a new flora and a new fauna. Combination that fits the millennium. But you can't visit, you can't come here and look at them. That is how severe, congregation, God's attitude is towards this country and its sins through its history. We will get to it, probably not today. We have been exceptionally blessed in this country with freedoms. Freedom of religion, speech, all under attack now. A wonderful piece of territory, land, that's ideally suited to economic success. Everything is placed perfectly. The Mississippi in the middle, all of it. And we have abused God's gifts to this day, and in many ways. Her fateful time also will soon come, and her days will not be prolonged. And that is because, one, Americans will not turn from their evil and change all this mess that's been going on. Chapter 21. And that'll consume 10 verses. The oracle concerning the wilderness of the sea. Strange language, isn't it? The wilderness of the sea. A place that is turned into a wilderness. I just said this. That this country will be a wilderness. And a wilderness is not a place where they got roads and clearing out underbrush. No, this is a wilderness. Wild grow. The oracle concerning the wilderness of the sea. And America is located in the midst of the sea. Pacific on one side, Atlantic on the other. And then south of us, the Gulf of Mexico. As windstorms in the Negev sweep on, one of the weather events that Israel had to suffer through periodically was windstorms coming up from the Negev, which is a southern area, which tended to be desert. And these southerly winds were strong and hot, and there was no fun when these things were cranked up during a cycle of the windstorms in the Negev sweep on. It comes from the wilderness, from a terrifying land. A harsh vision has been shown to me. It wasn't all fun for these prophets. Now, what would Isaiah care about a country that was way down the road that he had no relationship and understanding of? He had to see it in a vision, and it wasn't pleasant. It would not be pleasant. None of this is designed to be pleasant. The manifestation of God's wrath on people isn't designed to be pleasant. But it only comes when people will not adhere and turn from their evil. The treacherous one still deals treacherously, and the destroyer still destroys. This is American foreign policy in particular, and the suffering. When you get down to the details and get away from the glorified little textbook in school, when you get down to the hardcore realities of what's been going on, the treachery, the betrayal, and other things that are gone. I can illustrate with one country, ironically, Russia, the Russian Revolution. That revolution was financed by Western bankers. Our leaders have to have known what Lenin and Stalin and those types were doing. Yet we did lend-lease. We have sent our products. We bailed them out with grain. We sent our technologies in there. Our businessmen were in there. And they had these gulags where they were murdering Russian people. By the millions. The Bolsheviks. And we're like this with them. And we're supposed to be this big example. Now if a nation sneezes, we're going to put sanctions on them. We use economic pressure, military pressure, internal overthrow of governments through coups. The elected leader of Iran, before the Ayatollahs took over, he was democratically, legally elected. And our intelligence agency overthrew that. It's gone all through Latin America, everywhere around. Our hands are involved in this stuff. We did not use our wealth in an honorable way in many, many instances. Oh, we've got all this foreign aid and blah, 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 on and on. But that isn't enough to offset this. And of course, we would have no UN mess if it wasn't for the American dollar. They tried to set up this world headquarters at the end of World War I. League of Nations, during Wilson's administration. But guess what? We had enough honorable American senators. They voted it down. We didn't join. So this one world thing winds up on a piece of property on Manhattan Island, donated by the Rockefellers, this piece of land that has this UN building on it, donated by the Rockefellers before it was fittingly a slaughterhouse where they slaughtered animals for marketing. The Rockefellers are behind it. All these people, one worlders, all this stuff. They like war. Vietnam was a setup. The Gulf of Tonkin incident was not as it said. They had interest to justify going to war. It's called false flag operations. Various things happen along these lines. This stuff just going on like crazy. So, American people didn't do anything about it. They didn't turn to God. They didn't throw these people out, get the right ones in, and here we go down the road. Treachery. Destruction. Go up Elam, lay siege. First mention of Elam. That's like the third group within the Medo-Persian group. Lay siege, Media. See the consistency here? It doesn't say Persia at all. Persia was the lead group in the Medo-Persian Empire. Medes and the Persians. We always say it that way. And then there's the littler group down here. It's like three brothers. And the little brother is like Elam. The center brother, Media. It's the Medes who are the archers. Now, the counterpart in the prophecy is the Russian military thermonuclear launch stuff. And are they ever cranking with regard to their weapons of mass destruction? And most of this was done in a short time under Putin. Okay. What's wrong? Is this not working? Okay. Okay. Okay, never mind. If you're out there in the world, you need to get online, get our website. That's your test. Of course, they're not going to hear that earlier. Okay. Go up, Elam, lay siege, Media. I've made an end of all the groaning she has caused. How much suffering on our earth is the direct result of American foreign policy? God keeps tabs. And all those people that have died unnecessarily, their countries have been invaded, whether directly or indirectly, economic oppression through the World Bank and all this mess, God keeps tabs of it. It's as if they died yesterday or suffered yesterday. I have made an end of all the groaning she has caused. The effect on the prophet of this vision. For this reason, my loins are full of anguish. Pains have seized me like the pains of a woman in labor. Do you think Isaiah is exaggerating? If you'd have seen this in, we used to call Technicolor. If you had saw a presentation of this in Technicolor, it'd make you ill. It'd make you sick. It made the prophet sick. Whatever the visual he had, he tells of this. I am so bewildered. I cannot hear. So terrified. I cannot see. My mind reels. Horror overwhelms me. The twilight That's the end of the day. I long for has been turned into trembling. He gives a personal effect on the prophet of this whole vision. Just this vision. He wasn't indifferent to it. Okay. It made him ill and it upset him terribly. Then he goes back to the vision. They set the table. You know, like it maybe Thanksgiving. They spread out the cloth. They eat. They drink. Rise up, captains. Oil the shields. I guess that's one of the things that I don't know what that corresponds to in modern military weaponry. Oiling the shields. But that's part of taking care of your equipment, I guess. I don't know. I'm not going to give you every last one of these and have every one just perfectly nailed. I just got to tell you that up front. But enough that we can figure out this. But thus says the Lord to me, go station the lookout. Let him report what he sees. When he sees riders, horsemen in pairs, a train of donkeys, that would be to carry materiel. A train of camels, same thing. Let him pay close attention, very close attention. This is the advance of the enemy. And somehow this works into it. Then the lookout called, O Lord, I stand continually by day on the watchtower, and I'm stationed every night at my guard post. This isn't a literal guard post. This is the prophetic one. Now behold, there comes a troop of riders, horsemen in pairs. This probably has a reference to Cyrus's army as he approached Babylon. And a watchman on the tower would know that it wasn't just, you know, a caravan of merchants or something. They'd know it was Persian formation. Here comes a troop of riders, horsemen in pairs. And one said, fallen, fallen is Babylon. And all the images of her gods are shattered on the ground. O my threshed people, and my afflicted of the threshing floor, what I have heard from the Lord of the armies, the God of Israel, I make known to you. All right, chapter 47. And I believe this is the last in the Old Testament we'll consider. Again, this is another picture of the same thing. Lament for Babylon. It's titled here. And the picture here begins with, well, Babylon's called, O Virgin Daughter of Babylon. Now, what the picture is for the imagery here is that, as in the case of an enemy overcoming a country, and all kinds of people are caught up in it, of course, and are carried off into captivity. In this instance, the one carried off into captivity is an attractive, well-to-do female who has been living the life of luxury, finery. Well, she gets no respect. She is drug off into captivity. So the picture is of the wealth, prosperity of the Babylon. They don't have any respect for that. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground without a throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For you shall no longer be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal, something this woman never would have touched. Remove your veil, strip off the skirt. Uncover the leg, cross the rivers. So she's partially nude, at least. And she's taken into captivity. Your nakedness will be uncovered. Your shame also will be exposed. I'll take vengeance and will not spare a man. So he takes this figure of a woman who is debased in this fashion, in being led off into captivity, made to work like a dog, also that she can't protect herself from the indignities associated with her captivity. She's helpless. And that's a picture of old virgin daughter of Babylon. None of this stuff the Americans have will do them any good. None of it. Their fancy cars, their fancy homes, their food, nothing, nothing. And so that's how we work with this. Because we work with this, I will not spare a person. Our Redeemer, the Lord of the armies, is His name. The Holy One of Israel. Sit silently. Go in darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For you will no longer be called the Queen of the Nations. Kingdoms, rather. You'll no longer be called that. That's off the table. And then he has this part. I was angry with my people. Historically, God's anger was directed towards the chosen people. On those different occasions. And the last, of course, is their dispersion and removal from their homeland in 70 AD. I was angry with my people and profaned my heritage and gave them into your hand. You did not show mercy to them. On the age you made your yoke very heavy. Yet you said, I'll be a queen forever. These things you did not consider, nor remember the outcome of them. Now hear this, you sensual one, who dwells securely, who says in your heart, I am, and there's no one besides me. I will not sit as a widow, nor no loss of children. Get this. But these two things will come on you suddenly in one day. Reference Jeremiah 18. All her judgments come in one day. As in one day it came down on Sodom and Gomorrah. Loss of children, that's citizens, and widowhood. They will come to you in full measure, in spite of your many sorceries. Diplomats running around, as we've done. In spite of the great power of your spells. You felt secure in your wickedness and said, no one sees me. This means basically, we're not accountable for what we do. We can do what we want to do. Your wisdom and your knowledge, they've deluded you. For you said in your heart, I am, and there's no one besides me. Various individuals have described in high political places have described America as the indispensable nation. Really? We'll see. We weren't here for a long time, and we were not needed. Presidents, indispensable. This is the arrogance. You are dispensable. But evil will come on you, which you do not know how to charm away. And disaster will fall on you, for which you cannot atone. And destruction about which you do not know will come on you suddenly. And then we here have sarcasm. Stand fast now in your spells and in your many sorceries with which you labored from your youth. Perhaps you'll be able to profit. See, this is sarcasm. Perhaps you may cause trembling. You are worried with your many counsels. Let now your astrologers, these people who project the future, those who prophesy by the stars, those who predict by the new moons. Now that's what they did in the ancient world. We have other ways of doing the same thing. We have these things we produce, that this is what's going to happen and so forth. Stand up and save you from what will come on you. Behold, they have become like stubble. Fire burns them. They cannot deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There will be no coal to warm by. So have those become to you with whom you have labored, who have trafficked with you from your youth. American commercialism over the from your youth. Each has wandered his own way. Back to the theme of people leaving here. There's none to save you. Let's take our break.